Yep.
Bo Hess.
And now, the end is near.
Bo.
Felger and Mass. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Esper finally back off injured reserve. Chris, good to see you for the first time in a couple of weeks. Obviously, much to get to. We touched on the Red Sox, touched on the Patriots, this big game coming up against the Steelers. And then there's this Brady Instagram post. I opened the show asking if I'm an a-hole for reading too much into it. For those that haven't seen it, Brady did his best to just try to emulate every basic white chick on Instagram, putting up an R.M. Drake quote.
I've been screwed.
That's right, Jimmy.
Am I
so am I an a-hole for questioning this this Instagram post, this poem he puts up called Good Timber on his account? I won't read the whole thing. It was written by this man, Douglas Mallock. Hopefully I'm saying that correctly. He was known as the Lumberman's Poet.
Interesting.
That's a tough poet
When did this guy, is this guy still alive?
No. He was, let's see here, he was known as the Lumberman's Poet. He was the editor of the Chicago trade paper, The American Lumberman, in the early 1900s.
Interesting.
Well, that sounds like a must read. Today in Wood. Ooh, riveting. Thank God we live in the time that we live in now. I gotta pick up that new issue of American Lumberman. Honey, let me tell you what's going on in Elm. Oh boy. Well, anyway, part of what this guy wrote here, this poem that Brady put up. Here's the meat of it: the stronger the wind, the stronger trees, the further sky, the greater length, the more the storm, the more the strength. By sun and cold, by rain and snow and trees and men, good timbers grow. Goes on and on. The gist is this: no matter what, I overcome. And we know that Brady's got this chip on his shoulder. Pick 199. That's, you know, it's the maniacal drive that's made him as great as he's been. But why now? And this is the question. I think there's something about the now, and maybe it has to do with what you're talking about with Alex Guerrero and Bill Belichick. There's some things going on behind the scenes that Brady's not happy about. And Felger mentioned it earlier, too. There's a post back in October. Someone told Felger that's close to Brady and close to the team that said that post that's like this one had to do with, at that time, Guerrero being told, like, hey, we don't want you around for these road trips anymore. So that's something he had to overcome. It had to do with something like this. It was something he's overcoming. So what does it have to do with that? Does it have to do with this Dolphins loss this past Monday? I doubt it.
Little bit. I would say here's where it might have to do with the Dolphins loss, because you mentioned being pick 199. What has been the national sports talk chatter? It's like they've all been like hyenas. Like, see, we told you, this guy's human.
Oh, this
he's going to decline.
This is the
cliff.
Yeah,
you've heard 40. A lot of that. So that could definitely play into it. That and the Guerrero thing, I think that's where it would play into it. I definitely think the Guerrero thing is part of this, because it's now this is adversity. You're having your routine disrupted. You're having your comfort level disrupted. And you have to overcome, Jim. Overcome.
Or maybe he knows we know the stakes of this game. Again, the Steelers win. They're the number one seed. And the Patriots go in there. They're kind of shorthanded. Maybe he realizes, especially with the loss that they just had in Miami, and as ugly as it looked in all three levels, we've lost too much. No Dante Hightower, no Julian Edelman. The defense is very thin. This front seven, I can't even name half these players. So he sees that, and he's like, I got to overcome this. Or does it have to do with the injuries? And I think it's this. I do think he's far more beat up than, that has been reported. And you see him clenching the hand at times, the lack of accuracy right from the jump in that game on Monday. Like, I think there's more going on with this guy, and what he's trying to overcome is how beat up he is at this time of the season.
It's probably all of it. I mean, the injury situation, the conflict between Guerrero and the team, the fact that he didn't play well against Miami and that people are starting to doubt him again. It's probably all of that, because like any great athlete, your Michael Jordans, Pedro Martinez, Brady internalizes all that stuff, and he wants to prove you right. He lives to prove you wrong.
As much as you enjoy writing for the Boston Globe, could you ever work for an establishment known as the American Lumberman?
Or absolutely. What are they paying? Jim, I work in an industry that has been extraordinarily disrupted by the internet, and is a lot of people see as a declining industry. So you know what? If the American Lumberman comes a-calling, I'm not turning up my nose.
Those were dark times. Oh, we're going to read about wood today. Whoa, what was Gasper's take on mahogany? You got to read about it.
I'll tell you what. There's a lot of great work I could do when it comes to grain. What kind of the grain of the wood? What are the latest logging techniques? I think I could really get into that.
Let's hear something else Patriots related. I want to get your thought on in a minute. But Randy, let you go first. What did you want to bring up with the Pats?
See, I haven't heard anyone bring this up all day, but I think that a player who needs to have a sneaky good performance is Kenny Britt, because I know we haven't had that big buy receiver. Cooks is that deep threat, but I believe that we really need Kenny Britt to just have a good game and just be that receiver that we can rely on. How do you think about how his performance should be this Sunday?
Chris, so they pick up Kenny Britt, who was just cut by Cleveland. He wasn't really doing anything there. It was just a few hundred yards and a couple of touchdowns. But they brought him in before. He's a Rutgers guy under Greg Schiano, so I guess that makes sense. But is this, you know, Michael Floyd at this almost this exact time last year?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't expect much from Kenny Britt. Maybe there'll be a handful of plays they have in the playbook for him, things that he's comfortable with. But there's no way that he could process and be able to understand and execute the bulk of the offense. He just hasn't been here long enough. And again, how many times have we seen it over the years? Receivers that have had an entire offseason, an entire training camp, a Joey Galloway, a Chad Ochocinco, guys that just haven't been able to get it. Here's a guy that they just took off the street who's been here for, what, 3 days? And he's going to go out there on Sunday and be a trusted receiver. Plus, Gronk's back. You know, I think a lot of what you saw against Miami had to do with Gronk not being in there and Chris Hogan not being 100% healthy. I thought he didn't really look like himself at all. And I think in some ways, Cooks, what they were asking him to do, win on the outside on routes that are not deep routes, is he's a little miscast there. He just is. You know who they miss? They miss Malcolm Mitchell. Malcolm Mitchell's the guy that they miss.
So in bringing in Britt, and this was going to be my question, giving it to you now, does this speak to Mitchell not being able to come back this year with that knee injury?
You know, I would say it probably speaks to the idea. I know Jeff Howe has written this and tweeted this. He tweeted this the other day, that the expectation there is that, you know, Mitchell's not coming back. On the other hand, I don't think they've completely ruled it out either. But Britt's a guy I think they've had interest in. You get to kick the tires, and he's insurance if Mitchell can't come back. But I'll tell you what, if Mitchell can come back, like, to me, he immediately jumps Kenny Britt on the depth chart, because that's a guy that picked it up, had great chemistry with Brady, and even though he's not the biggest guy, you know, he has really big hands, and he plays a la Juju Smith-Schuster of the Steelers. He plays bigger than his listed height and weight, and that's what they need on the outside.
You know what annoys me about it, though? It shows how useless Philip Dorsett has been. And you got him as the return for Jacoby Brissett, who's been okay. You know, he's on last night in primetime against Denver, and at times he's thrown.
You watched that game, didn't you?
Oh, I'm a sucker. I'm an idiot.
You really are. You're the worst.
I love the worst. It's the last Thursday night game, Chris. I got to celebrate it. Come on. But he's made more than a handful of throws, and I'm like, okay, this kid can at least be a decent backup. You got Philip Dorsett in return for him? Like, it's another mismanaged asset. That just pisses me off. All right, Jack in Nashua on the Patriots-Steelers game on Sunday. Hey, Jack.
Hey, it's Jeff, actually. But I was wondering, I know that everybody's focusing on this game, but if they win this game against the Steelers, they still have to pay the Steelers again, right, next time? And isn't it the second game a lot more difficult than the first game to win, as we saw with New York a few years ago prior to the Super Bowl?
Oh, sure. Yeah, look, I mean, typically it looks like, you know, that second game is, it just happened with Miami just a couple of weeks ago. The Jets in 2010, you know, you blew the doors off them. It was 45-7, whatever the hell it was. And then that divisional round, you know, you have that tough game, you end up losing there. The Giants in 2007. And I'm not going to be shocked if the Steelers got knocked off in the divisional round.
I was just going to say the same thing. And I like, you know, I like the Steelers in terms of, I think they are the primary challenger to the Patriots in the AFC. I think they clearly are. You know, if they're not the best team in the AFC, we'll find out on Sunday. They're the clear number two. But let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Like, let's focus on Sunday, and we'll see what happens down the line, because the Steelers could get upset in the playoffs. And if the Patriots have to play on wild card weekend, that's not going to be a cakewalk either.
But the Steelers' resiliency should be commended. I mean, how many come from behind wins have they had in the last month?
We know what's interesting is the way Boswell, their place, I feel like no one's talking about him. He's been nails. I mean, you
gotta feel pretty notoriously
good.
Tough to kick.
One of the hardest places in the league to
and
kick.
Kicking like 50 yarders in that
Joel, the 53-yard game winner.
Take that, Mike. I bet he's screaming in his car right now on his way to Logan. Don't talk about kickers on my show. Murray! Ah! Let's go to Joe.
You hear that? That's the ratings going down, Murray.
Let's go to Joe in Chelmsford on Thought on Sunday's game. Hey,
hey,
Joe.
What's going on, guys? How's it going?
What's up?
Good.
Nothing. Did you guys see the tweet from, I believe the guy's name, Pittsburgh radio host, Colin Dunlap, just comparing Brady to Lance Armstrong and Barry Bonds? I don't know. I feel like with Pittsburgh fans, like, especially, they jump right to the, they're cheaters and blah, 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 blah. There's no way they could be winning this many games. And I just think it's hilarious that he compared them to all those and said it was absurd that nobody mentions them in the same breath.
Yeah, Joe, I pay that stuff no mind. That's the go-to. That's the easy go-to for every host or sports fan outside of New England that hates the Patriots and this near two decades of success. They cheat. That's how they. It's
You're just throwing chum in the water for the base, right? Which is, I mean, that's what those Steelers fans want to believe anyway. That the reason they lost those AFC title games at home to the Patriots is because there was something nefarious going on, and that, you know, it wasn't because they got out executed. It was Spygate or it was Deflategate, and that's something that sells really well in the market that guy's in, and he's no dummy. I mean, this is, what did Jimmy just say? Oh, when we talked about the kicker, the ratings went down? Do you think that guy's ratings went up or down when he threw the conspiracy theory in there that the only reason your beloved Steelers have lost to the Patriots is because Tom Brady is the Lance Armstrong of the NFL?
And plus, you're talking about these dopey yinzers in Jimmy. Pennsylvania, and Arlen Specter was the senator there that wanted the congressional...
I camped out outside his office.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I was in D.C., Senate office building.
Did you get a quote?
No. When he met with what's the guy's name, the Patriot guy who said he had the tape.
Oh, I forget at this point. Well, shame on you for not getting
and disappeared back to Hawaii where he was before.
Shame on you for not getting that quote. This is why you should
didn't get the quote.
That's why you should be running for the American Lumberman, Chris.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Thanks for ending your workday with Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
Gets wacky in terms of the radio schedule. So
smoke them if you got them.
That's right. Smoke them if you got them. Yours truly, Big Jim Murray, has moved over to the A-hole chair. We have Chris Gasper, the Boston Globe, and the Season Ticket Podcast, which you should download and listen to all the time, in the Maz chair. And you at 617-779-0985, it being an agenda-free Friday. A lot of Red Sox and Patriots talk. Give me a couple of minutes on the Celtics. Where are you at with them? Because I haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks. Any concerns about Marcus Morris, this knee injury? It sounds like he could be up for a couple of weeks.
Concerned about the Marcus Morris knee injury because he's a guy, as you know, I really like, and I like what he brings to the team, some toughness and some bench scoring, and I thought Brad was just getting to a point where he was figuring out how to use him. And I also feel like, let's see what happens with Gordon Hayward here. I know that the Celtics have been incredibly conservative when it comes to him coming back this year, but also no one has said definitively, like, no, he's definitely not coming back. So let's see what happens there. But assuming Hayward can't come back and Marcus Morris's knee injury is going to be a chronic situation, I look at it and say they're a guy short. Like, if you want to go really deep in these playoffs, if you want to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, win the Eastern Conference Finals, get to the NBA Finals, and have a real chance to win that, they're a guy short. They need to find another guy that can provide some scoring on a consistent basis. And I don't know where you get that guy. Look, they have that disabled player exception, and I think that's something they should use. Jimmy and I were talking about, you know, the Nuggets being here the other night. There are guys on that team that I think people have looked at and targeted.
Alex Len's in Phoenix, right?
Yeah, Alex Len's a guy I like. He's in Phoenix. I like Malik Beasley of the Nuggets. I think they have a glut of guards there. Ashrod Blakely of NBC Sports Boston has brought up Kenneth Faried as a guy that they could get. So I think they're going to have to make some move here because it feels like from a rotation standpoint, unless Hayward can come back, they're a guy short.
And the Celtics in action tonight at home hosting the Utah Jazz with a 7:30 tip, which you can catch right here with Sean Grady and Cedric Maxwell on 98.5. The Sports Hub. All right, longest order await. Let's go to Anthony in Northboro with a Bruins thought. Go ahead, Anthony.
Big Jim.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, buddy? About the Bruins. So everybody's talking about, sounds like, you know, I heard Mike earlier talk about wanting to trade some pieces off, trying to get, you know, some defensive help in here. I don't think you should touch anything. I think keeping Krejci there is helping Bjork get better and progress as a, you know, as a rookie. I think the only piece you can really move is Tuukka because that guy makes me sick watching him. Yes, he's been better, but he's such a puddle mentally. Like, I'm so sick of that guy. So trade him while he's hot now. Try and get some defensive help that's younger or, you know, that can sure up your blue line because, you know, Char is kind of getting a little old here. He's not exactly moving nimbly. And, you know, I don't know. That's what I think.
All right, Anthony. Unless someone's going to overpay with prospects or a young player that you really covet or that can shore up your defense, it's the Stan Pat movement with the Bruins, and I would hate to see Don Sweeney make any kind of move in terms of, he's worried about job security, and he wants the playoff gate, so I'm hoping that they do nothing and just try to ride this out with the young kids and with the mix of veterans that they have and do nothing at the trade deadline.
Yeah, and I still think they're sort of trying to sort out who are the kids here who can really play that we can keep and who are the kids maybe we can flip. And I think you need to you need to take some time to figure that out. You know, they have Jeremy Luzon. They have that kid down in Providence who's supposed to be pretty good. He's another defenseman. He's a left-shot defenseman. So they still have all these young guys, and I think they're still executing Sweeney's plan, which was to have this youth movement. And I don't want to see them change that or abandon that just to ensure they make the playoffs unless they're really going to be a contender. Like, do you feel like they're a real contender? I think they're going to make the playoffs.
No, I do too.
But I don't think they're a real contender. So unless you can make a move that's going to make you a real contender or really advance this sort of, I won't call it a rebuild, but retooling, then what's the point? Because if you trade Tuukka now, and Tuukka's playing well, and I understand his point, but if you trade Tuukka now and you don't get back NHL-ready goaltending help, you're not making the playoffs.
Let's go to Tender in Providence with the Red Sox thought. Go ahead, Tender.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Machado and Hopper, I'd love to see them in the lineup, but I don't know how the Red Sox would go about getting both those players. So I'd be interested in what you guys think. Chris, especially you, is that possible? And if it is possible, how would they do it?
I don't know if it's possible because I don't know what their budget is. I know that, you know, Bryce Harper is a guy you hear that he wants to be the first $40 million a year player in Major League Baseball, and that's his goal.
To sign both, you're literally talking about two players that would get close to $1 billion.
I mean, you're talking about two guys that would probably make, what, $75 million a year?
Yeah.
You know, and you still have the, as much as I make fun of it, you know, you have the luxury tax situation out there. So I would say that's probably unrealistic to get both of those guys. I would be happy with just Machado. I would obviously be happy if they just end up with Bryce Harper next year. But what I don't want them to do is commit resources, Jim, this offseason to guys that aren't that caliber of player. And then if they do have an opportunity to get that caliber of player, they say, well, we can't do it because we're up against the luxury tax apron. That's where I would be really disappointed. And what I keep hearing from the Red Sox beat writers is, oh, Dave Dombrowski's doing a good job. He's being patient. He's being patient. Evan Jarlk and I talked about this the other day on Early Edition on NBC Sports Boston. And my point to Evan was, well, if he's really going to be patient, then really be patient. And that means that you don't just sign the best guy available this offseason. You say, you know what? What we really need isn't out there. Let's keep our resources and our money, and let's see if we can get a Machado or a Bryce Harper. I mean, simply waiting out Scott Boras to knock like $5 million off the overall price tag of $130 million or whatever it ends up being, to me, that's not patience at a level that I'm going to give the guy a ton of credit.
I'm happy to see you this fire about the Red Sox. And this
I'm fired up about the Red Sox.
No,
I really am.
I think there should be more of it. I mean, we've gotten some calls in the last week ever since the Yankees were able to get Stanton, but there's a lot of people that are like, well, just get over the Stanton thing. They were never going to get him. I'm not getting over it. That Dombrowski never picked up the phone to try to drive up the price. That, to me, it's insulting.
And
I know,
the fact
I know
that the Yankees were aggressive to go get Stanton because they were afraid the Red Sox were going to go get Stanton.
They lack a force in the middle of that lineup. They don't have anybody that really truly strikes fear into pitchers, which was, you know, in the three titles that they won, you had guys like that, David Ortiz, you know, and Manny Ramirez, you know, you had these guys, and now you know that you need this going into this offseason, and now you're just going to shrug, and we're going to go for someone like J.D. Martinez. Oh, please.
Well, the other part, I look at it and I say, look, this is an offseason that, to me, Jim, cries out for real creativity from the front office, because there's not an obvious solution. You can say Stanton was an obvious solution, but look, that's off the board. So there's not an obvious solution. So now you have to get creative. To me, just signing J.D. Martinez, who happens to be the best slugger available this year, even though, again, I don't think he fits the bill of what you ultimately need, that's not creative to me. Creativity would be, okay, is there a way we can trade? Let's say, hypothetically, right? Do you deal off somebody like Rick Porcello, who has 2 years left on his deal, and try and get Major League-ready talent in return? Hypothetically, I don't know if Theo would do this deal, but Porcello to Chicago for a guy like Ian Happ, who showed some promise and is a switch hitter, has some pop, you know, that you could either keep or flip to another team to try and facilitate a deal for a real middle-of-the-order bat. Something like that, where you're creative, and maybe you do that and you say, you know what, we're better off spending the free agency money on Yu Darvish or Jake Arrieta than a slugger who's had basically two great halves of seasons that have boosted his numbers here. I think you have to look for a creative solution. Just signing the best guy available and waiting out Scott Boras doesn't scream creativity to me.
But considering Dave Dombrowski's track record, and that's seemingly all he can do, granted, he found kind of a diamond in the rough last year with Eduardo Nunez, but
yeah,
seemingly all he does is pull out the checkbook, sign the big name, or trade away prospects for the big name. And hey, Chris Sale was excellent
last
year.
Yeah, and Craig Kimbrell was excellent. You have to give him credit for those moves.
But do you think that Do you think he's able to recognize, you know, maybe a young up-and-coming player to make a deal like that, to get creative and to find kind of another diamond in the rough?
Well,
I don't think that he
well,
can.
Well, he did it in Detroit. He got Max Scherzer. He identified him. So he's capable of. His track record says he's capable of it. I just don't know if that's what he's thinking right now, or if they're just so locked in on, we have this team that we feel like should be a championship team. We have this window. Let's just sign this guy.
Let's squeeze in Rocco in Saugus with a Patriots thought. Go ahead, Rocco.
Hey, Chris, what's going on, my man?
Hey, what's up, Rocco?
Listen, I got a question, right? Like, the conflict between Brady and Guerrero and Belichick, right? Saying that, well, Guerrero said that, you know, Belichick doesn't have the player's best interest physically, right? That's the conflict, right? I honestly believe there's some truth to that, because, like, if I think about it, like, didn't Logan Mankins play with, like, a torn ACL, like, in 2010?
Yeah, he did. Like, he did play with torn ACL.
Since that Wes Welker played with, and even Aaron Hernandez. So, I mean, there's some truth to that when he says, hey, Belichick really doesn't have your best interest physically, your best interest. You know what I mean? And so when, you know, this player's going to see him, I mean, I don't blame him. I'm like, listen, you let Logan Mankins play, you let Welker play, even Edelman in the Super Bowl with a concussion. You didn't even take him out for a play or two. You know what I mean? So for me, I don't blame the players if they're seeing Guerrero.
Yeah, and Rocco, thanks for the call. I just think, look, at any correct me if I'm wrong here, Chris, at any level of professional sports, you don't undermine the coach and the training staff.
Well, especially this coach and the amount of power he has here.
Yeah, and the training staff, especially in football, is as important as any other aspect of the game.
But Rocco brought up a great point, and let me just distill his point. His point is Alex Guerrero works for Brady. The training staff of the Patriots
work for the Patriots.
They work for the team.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is in all professional sports. And by the way, the Patriots have a great training staff. I'm not in any way impugning them. I'm just saying that when you look at it, you know, sort of follow the money a little bit. I think sometimes when the decision is close, it's just human nature sometimes. And the history of football is there's pressure to get guys out there. That's the way the game has always been. And so if you're a player, no matter how much you trust the team's training staff, you probably mentally have more confidence in the guy that works for you. Because you know, like, this guy works for me, and if he doesn't do what's in my best interest, I'm just going to fire him.
If you want to get in on a agenda-free Friday, the number is 617-779-0985. Are you sticking around or are you splitting? Are you just doing your hour and splitting?
I can give you another 15 minutes.
All right, another 15 minutes of Gasper. If you got anything for Chris, Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe, finally back off the injured reserve list, everybody. Read him at the Boston Globe and, of course, the season ticket podcast. Download it now. But get on. You have questions for Chris, 617-779-0985. Agenda-free Friday. It's Felger and Maz.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
So let's go right to the phones here on Agenda Free Friday. Let's go to longest order await, Sonny in Florida with a Red Sox thought. Go ahead, Sonny.
Hi, how are you, Jim?
Good, what's up?
Big fan of the show. You and Chris are doing a great job filling in.
Well, thanks.
I just wanted to fill you in on a couple of things because everybody is really on Dombrowski and what he's doing, what he's not doing, and so on and so forth. Back when Theo was in charge, and I'll be glad to give you my name off the air, but back when Theo was in charge, I worked with the team for 3 years and was coaching down in South Florida. So for 22 years. So all these guys like JD, who played his high school ball down there, Eric Hosmer, who grew up like 5 miles from my house. He played down there at American Heritage. Here's what's going on. There's a split within the organization. If you had a few minutes to watch the MLB network, what you would have seen is Carlos Pena up there blowing out Eric Hosmer's stats about how he, you know, an analytics department would basically put this together.
But, all right, okay. So, but Sonny, get to the point. What's the gist here? Who hates each other behind the scenes?
Okay, nobody hates each other behind the scenes. Dombrowski is very respected in the baseball community, and he's not a stupid guy, but he is very loyal to J.D. Martinez.
Huh.
He had him in Detroit. He didn't disappoint him in Detroit. Here's the split in the organization so that people know. He wants Martinez more than anybody else wants Martinez. And here's the thing. He also is saying that he wants a left-handed arm. The other part of the organization is saying that they'd rather have Hosmer and they'd rather have move Eduardo Rodriguez to the bullpen and have a guy who can go three to five innings in the middle of a ball game because the guy can't stay sound anyway.
All right, on that I'm going to let you go. I don't want either. And so, look, I don't want to say that about Hosmer. I think Hosmer's a good B move. That's who I would have liked to have seen with someone else, but not that. That's someone else. I don't want to be J.D. Martinez. So
I don't want the package deal. Like, to me, it's like I'll take Hosmer solo, assuming it's not a ridiculous contract, because I think he makes you better. But you just understand that, okay, he's a big offseason move, and he makes you better, but you didn't fill your need for a slugger, so that's going to have to come internally. You know, Mookie Betts or someone is going to have to step up, or you just stay out on the prowl and see what's up with Manny Machado, or you just wait. You just wait a year and dip into free agency, or maybe you can convince the Blue Jays that they have no shot in the American League East this year. Hey, Donaldson's going to walk away, trade him to us. You know, you do something like that.
Let's go to Kyle in Waltham. Hey, Kyle. Kyle!
Yes, hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, so I just want to get your opinion on two things from this last week's game. Basically, first one being whether or not the injury to Brady's Achilles influenced his power at all. Because in my opinion, both those interceptions were underthrown. And then secondly, whether or not Gronkowski played an effect in terms of, you know, how he's able to pull defenders away from other receivers and how Brady wasn't able to get to any receivers last week.
Thanks, Kyle. On the first thing, there's something going on with Brady. I know Troy Brown said on NBC Sports Boston on the Patriots postgame show that he thinks that the Achilles injury is affecting those throws. You see him clench the hand at times. He's taken a beating. The cumulative effect of the hits that Brady has taken this year, I think, is now taking effect. You know, look, we all know how well he takes care of himself, the best of all time. But at 40 years old and the beating he's taken, I think it's starting to catch up with him a little bit. I think that's fair to say. He did not look good in that game on Monday night.
It's funny that Troy said that, because I remember the Miami game, the first one, the one here at Foxborough. I remember there being in the press box and watching a couple of throws and thinking, man, he's not stepping into these throws the way that he normally would. And I don't know if that's the Achilles or it was just the rush, because he was obviously under pressure in that game. So it might have been a situation where it had nothing to do with the Achilles, but I do remember thinking, like, he's not stepping into these and snapping it the way that he normally does. On the second point about Gronk, yeah, I mean, obviously, without having Gronk out there, you and I have done the show for years, and I've said this, when I look at Gronk, I don't even compare him to any other tight end. To me, I start comparing Gronk to Antonio Brown and Julio Jones and guys like that, where you go into the game and say, we don't want this guy to beat us, this guy needs extra attention, and that opens it up for everybody else. When you take that guy out, the Patriots are much easier to cover, particularly when Julian Edelman's not there.
And this is a guy that, you know, obviously, look, I'm with you. He's on another planet. There isn't a tight end that compares even Travis Kelce on his best day. But against this team, you look at the numbers. Gronk, if you feel a little bit nervous about this game like I do, you want to feel confident. Gronk's numbers against Pittsburgh in five games, it's close to 500 yards and 8 touchdowns.
It's 30 receptions for 496 yards and 8 touchdowns. It's more yards and scores than he has against any non-divisional opponent in his career.
But I do like this question from Anthony in Medford as it pertains to Sunday's game. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, what's up, Jim? Hi, Chris.
Hey.
Two quick things, Murray. On Guerrero, the guy scares me. He's a little better than Vinat. But as far as his diet and exercise resume, you can't, you know, argue. Look at Brady and look at Gronk this year. You know, he's been more or less injury-free, and he looks in the best shape of his career. And the other thing, with the Steelers scare me like you, Jim. I hope they ain't going to lose. And I think they have the answer for Antonio Brown with the corner and the safety at the top. But the thing that scares me, they have no answer as far as he's healthy as Le'Veon Bell. Who's going to cover him out of the backfield? Not only just running, what about who's going to cover him coming out of the backfield? See what you and Chris say. Thanks, Mark.
So, and thanks for the call, Anthony. There was one particular play on Monday that stuck in my craw, Chris, when they spread out Kenyon Drake and Landon Roberts was on him. And before the ball is snapped, you have the broadcast booth saying, well, this is going to be a big play. And before the ball is snapped, I was like, oh, Jesus, what the hell? This is going to be awful. And what it made me think of was, well, if this is Kenyon Drake, who, you know, has been pretty good for the Dolphins,
and
he's a very athletic running back, well, if you have maybe the best in the game and Le'Veon Bell next week against the Steelers, and is it going to be a Kyle Van Noy with a hurt calf or a Landon Roberts again? Oh my God. I immediately thought of how Bell can be utilized in the Steelers' passing game, and that is a matchup problem.
Admit it, Jim. You were thinking, I want Cassius Marsh back. I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's your guy.
No, I'm happy with Eric Lee and Trevor Riley. And I time and again, Chris, I look at that front seven. I'm like, who the hell are these guys? And that, to me, is one of the fatal flaws of this team.
Yeah. In terms of the answering the question, who would cover Bell, it reminds me of a game the Patriots played in 2007 against the Colts. And the whole week, it was like, who's going to cover Dallas Clark? It's going to be Adalys Thomas. It's going to be Adalys Thomas, who they just signed. And you know who did it? Was Rodney Harrison. It was, you know, so I think it could be a situation where we're all thinking, oh, they're going to put a linebacker on Le'Veon Bell, and it will end up being Patrick Chung basically playing as a linebacker, or McCourty, you know, basically playing as a linebacker who is assigned to cover Bell when he flexes out and flanks out like that. They'll come up with something creative that doesn't make it as bad as that Kenyon Drake,
as long as it's not
Roberts play.
Jordan Richards or, oh God. Yeah, so who do you think, because there was a lot of talk from Bill Belichick about how much, you know, the respect that they obviously have for Le'Veon Bell. It seems to me, at least from the way that he's talking, they look at Bell as the bigger weapon between he and Antonio Brown, but Do you agree with that, or do you think it's about stopping?
I think he's the harder weapon to take away because it's easier to get the ball to him, right? You know, Antonio Brown's a receiver. He's outside the numbers most of the time. I mean, obviously he runs routes that go inside the numbers, but that's where he's lining up. And you can do things to make it harder for him. With Bell, it's like all they have to do is hand it off to him, or it's a swing pass, or it's a screen pass, which Bill talked about today, a screen pass that goes for 30 yards. I think Bell's the harder guy to take away because it's easier for the Steelers to get the ball to him. So I think that's probably what Bill's thinking.
Andrew in Manchester, New Hampshire has something for me. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, Murray. You're a good dude. You know what you're talking about. You have a very good sports knowledge. But come on, man. You're a jackass ranking the Patriots fifth in the NFL this week.
Well,
are you kidding me, man?
Come on, dude. It's just for going into week 15, Andrew. That's all.
I understand that, man.
Well, I'm sure that this, you weren't the only person that was pissed off with this. When Greg Bedard came in for his 10 questions, one of the questions for Greg and his 10 questions was, give me your NFL power rankings 1 to 3. I expounded on that and went 1 to 5. Right now, Steelers, Eagles, Vikings, Jags, Patriots.
Oh, come
Troll.
On. Come on, the Eagles. So were you saying, like, you know, Carson Wentz is immaculately going to be healed somehow? Like,
no, it's just for right now.
But okay, but for right now, they have Nick Foles. How could you put the Eagles with Nick Foles out of a Tom Brady team?
I think that the Eagles have a better roster. Their defense is better than the Patriots. And no, I can't convince myself into thinking they're going to win a playoff game with Nick Foles. But all right, fine. I was kind of being a dick.
Yeah.
okay. If they had Wentz, though, they're definitely the number two team in the league.
Fair. I that would be fair. I'll be honest with you. That's fair.
All right, let's squeeze in another one here. Let's go to...
Jimmy's going
to
kill you. Jimmy's going to come out and strangle you.
Jim in Redding is a Patriots thought. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, guys. How's it going? This is kind of a gas, and also you, Murray, but what's the story with Edelman? How come we don't hear anything? I know the Patriots are real secretive about their reports and their injured players. But is Edelman getting treated by Guerrero also? Because they know he's in tight with Brady. But what are you hearing, Chris, on that? Anything?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's definitely worked with Guerrero in the past. I know, you know, he's doing like a lot of rehab, obviously, and dedicated to it. I wouldn't be surprised if he's doing like both. You know, Patriots rehab and then doing his own thing with Guerrero. I know he's going to that TB12, at least right after the surgery was. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's doing both things. Look, Julian has a lot going on. I mean, it's not hard to find, you know, Julian. I think he tweeted something today about being on the New York Times bestseller list for sports books. But in terms of an update on his knee, it's a little harder to come by.
I saw him at the – so, you know, I've been doing Patriots pre- and post-game with Paul Perillo and Andy Hart, Patriots.com. Tune in this Sunday, by the way. Plug. But, you know, during the home games, because, like, I can't deal with being in the media booth. It's too quiet. I need to be out and be a rowdy fan. But I made my way through some of the luxury boxes, or outside of luxury boxes, maybe like a month ago. He was there, and he's out walking around, so it's not like he's in a boot or anything like that. So he's rehabbing. I don't think you would expect him. He's obviously not coming back this
no.
year. But as you said, follow him on social media. He's got things going on. The sequel to his kids' book is coming out. He's got the book with, was it Tom Curran?
Tommy Relentless. Yeah. It's like it's way up there in the New York Times bestseller list. Congrats to both those
guys. Tweets daily about something. So that's that. All right. So, Chris, I will see you tomorrow morning.
Sounds good.
The return of Gasper
and Murray. I exhausted all my takes, so, you know.
All right. So tune in tomorrow starting at 11. You get to hear them all over again right here on 98.5
The
Sports.
You need a take recharge.
Yeah. Okay. Gasper and Murray right here on The Sports Hub. We'll see you then, pal.
Sounds good.
Also want to let you know you can please help The Sports Hub support the Boston Celtics Shamrock Foundation this holiday season. Check out Celtics.com. Click on the community page to make in-kind donations supporting local youth programs. Enter the Christmas Shamrock Raffle where you can win the ultimate Celtics fan Christmas trip. Tickets still available for Foundation Night against the Miami Heat this Wednesday night. Again, go to Celtics.com. Also want to thank the Summer Shack for providing food today to the Sports Hub staff. I don't know if you had any of that fried chicken or the delicious clam chowder that was out there. Oh, it was the best.
There'll be nothing left.
There's some chowders that are hidden. Someone's trying to sneak them and hide them in the fridge. You go take those. Fill your belly. Summer Shack has two locations, one in Boston's Back Bay, one in Cambridge's Alewife Station. They have space available for holiday functions. For more information, log on to summershackrestaurant.com. All right, back with the final word. I guess we have Fresh Fuppets and a Squeaky Maz coming up here on Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. No one says it like they do, like they do.
So my question to the people of Boston is, what are you nuts?
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deals on tires? There's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, McCone!
Nobody. All right, Murray, well, no Felger, no Maz right now, but we still do have a brand new Fuppets for
okay.
you.
Launch it, Jimmy.
It wasn't even pretty. They didn't want the guy. They looked at him and said, nah, so what? 59 homers. Whoop-dee-doo. Yay. 59 homers. That's all right. We'll double people to death. Have a good bullpen. No, we're good. We don't need anything.
Folks listening on the radio side, that sound effect is legitimate. I don't know how many of you can do it. I can't come close. Maz literally sticks his finger in his mouth. This is a very old-timey sort of move. How do you do that?
You'd have tight cheeks.
He sticks his finger in his mouth and pops that finger out and makes that sound like whoop, like wee. That's Maz's equivalent.
Whoopee.
Excellent job by Hardy producing the Fuppets. And obviously, that is a visual medium. Those on the television side on NBC Sports Boston got to enjoy that, but that'll be up on all the Felger and Maz socials, the Facebook, Twitter page, also on the Instagram page as well. Right, Jimmy?
Yes.
All right. So, yes. McCone, can you do that, the pop?
I cannot do that.
Really?
No.
I don't know how people can't do that.
How can Felger not do that?
He's got loose cheeks.
Piece of cake.
Yeah.
Easy.
It's like
who can't do that?
Old-timey radio trick. Let's celebrate with some champagne, everybody. Glasses all around. What else we got?
We also have Squeaky Maz. I don't know if you heard about this, but Giancarlo Stanton wound up with the Yankees this week. And Maz was pretty fired up about that.
After this whole thing with Dombrowski saying we kicked the tires at the end, he's not necessarily shooting down what the agent said. He's confirming it as far as I'm concerned. In retrospect, looking back, I'd have taken tepid interest. Give me tepid. Give me tepid over no interest. They had no interest. Who are they kidding? They're full of crap. They had no interest in this guy. 27 years old, 59 home runs, and they had no interest? None? Stanton's a minimum of three if he opts out, but if he opts out, who's going to sign him?
I don't know.
The Yankees! What do they want? What do they want to do? Win 93 games every year and get their asses kicked again in the first round of the playoffs? Is that what they want? They're younger than you, they're better than you, they have more money than you. You're screwed. You are now screwed for 5 years.
You think you're screwed?
Close. I've got to get this off my chest. The Red Sox don't have a guy who hit 30 home runs. The Yankees, meanwhile, have three guys who hit 40. So, I'm pissed. How do you not be pissed at this? I'm pissed. 27 years old, 59 home runs, and they had no interest? Ah, you gotta be kidding me!
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
How do you gauge the greatness of a Mercedes-Benz SUV? By its ability to carry cargo or to carry on a legacy? Its show of strength or its sign of intelligence? The ability to cross harsh terrain or to break new ground? Or do you gauge greatness by the exceptional offer you got on your Mercedes-Benz SUV? Come in this Thanksgiving week for opportunities abounding. There has never been a better time to obtain greatness than right now. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.